Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock, and congratulations. It's the weekend as well. Hopefully, you're off work, and luckily for you, Old Dirty and Show and Tyler have the latest for you. And the latest is, Clint.
That wasn't very nice.
It wasn't very nice.
It's the way you said in, Tyler. That was disrespectful.
He's starting to do that more and more. He's starting to slide those little jabs in throughout the show.
It's not a jab. I said his name. Your ass is lucky as hell that I said it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
See, they'll show you how they really feel.
That's true.
What you got to do is make sure you take note. Just take note.
My fault. You're right. You're right. Let me do this right. Hey, congratulations, man. Hopefully you're off work and you're maybe having a nice drink somewhere and enjoying the early part of your weekend. Luckily enough for you, you got Dirty and Show with the latest for you, and that's it. just the greatest producer in the world, Tyler T. Mill.
Oh, you say he's backtracking now? Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't say that. He just says that.
You're the worst.
Yeah, well, as I told Megan, I don't think I like your husband. But the Texans, they bring in for workout Philip Dorsett, former New England Patriot, also played with the Colts, wide receiver. And he's a guy that can play in the slot and on the outside. But they've had some issues with their receiving core, and especially with the more long-term injury to Danny Amendola, who's going to be out potentially 4 or 5 weeks. So, Clint, when you get tryouts, I don't know. You see tryouts, there's sometimes we don't really speak those up. This one feels like you could see potentially Philip Dorsett coming in and being on this roster.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no question about it. They need bodies. And, I mean, they were on the verge this week with what John McClain just told us was just a case of the flu running through the building. I mean, you had Chris Conley. I mean, you had an entire practice canceled. And then you had Chris Conley and Brandon Cooks, who are at the top of the list in terms of your wide receiver crew. You had both of them miss the following practice. Luckily, they were back today. But nonetheless, I mean, you're one day away from going into a game with literally, I mean, what would that be? That would be give you two receivers that have caught balls for the Texans this year, Nico Collins and Chris Moore.
Yeah.
And then you would have to go on with Davion Davis and maybe Jordan VC. And I mean, hell, I don't even know who else is still with the team on the practice squad. So
yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a little bit more than just, there's a guy out there, we're just going to work him out. Like, I think this is, one, he's got history with Jack Easterby. Well, maybe not Jack. Yeah, no, he had history with Jack Easterby. And
he was on the 2018 Patriots team.
Him and Nick Caserio, he's a veteran receiver. I believe he could fit right alongside Chris Conley at this point in time, assuming he's healthy. I think this is a legit workout. I wouldn't surprise me if they didn't sign the guy, assuming he's in shape and can play. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't sign the guy and add him to the mix. Yeah, I mean, they were on the verge of having some real problems on Sunday.
This feels like when Danny Amendola got a workout. Like when Danny Amendola, earlier in the year, it was reported that Danny Amendola got a workout, and then that workout spun.
Fresh off the streets.
Before we got to the Astros game, he was signed.
Yep.
So this is one that we'll take a look at. Philip Dorsett could be added to this team coming up soon.
5 o'clock fire.
And going into this game on Sunday, there was, as you talked about, an injury fear But Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, Terrence Mitchell, those guys that were all missed the last 2 days of practice with illness and health were part of the group that got practice completely shut down on Wednesday. They all three are starters and returned back to practice. But David Johnson, he is still out with illness. And rookie defensive tackle Roy Lopez, which Lovie Smith has called their best run stopper in terms of defensive lineman, he is on the injury list with an illness as well. So we'll see what happens Sunday, how these guys fare and who plays.
Yeah, look, I think the receivers and Terrence Mitchell at the cornerback position, them coming back is probably the most needed, because those two positions are awfully thin and those two guys are at the top of that position group. So that's big. But I think probably the most interesting one here for the fan base and for NFL fans that watch Houston is David Johnson. David Johnson still being out. I think everybody that's watched the Texans, at least has followed the Texans, would like to see somebody other than David Johnson be featured in this offense.
I know I would.
And it looks like, because of an illness, he hadn't practiced all week this week. It looks like they're going to be forced to play Rex Burkhead more, which I know I've been wanting just based off of what I've seen from the running backs that are in a Houston Texans uniform at this point in time. I think Rex Burkhead's the best one. So we're probably going to see more of Rex Burkhead, and we're probably going to see a new face, which I think a lot of people have been asking for, Royce Freeman. Not necessarily seeing Royce Freeman's face, but a new face outside of Rex Burkhead and David Johnson. So it looks like some Texans fans, and hell me, we may get a little dose of what we've been asking for on Sunday with David Johnson being out again today with illness.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, with the Astros, as we know, Major League Baseball right now, they're in a lockout, and that's kind of been the big story. But off of that, yesterday, John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB insider, our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, had a report out that the deal between the Astros and Justin Verlander, that two-year, $50 million deal, is not official, where he also came out with a report today and said that no one has responded why Verlander's deal wasn't made official, and that MLB Trade Rumors points out that Verlander isn't listed on the Astros roster on MLB.com. Like, where is your level of concern on this? I don't want to scare people. I think it's on us to alert people on this. This is very odd, because we made this announcement, lost our minds about 3 weeks ago with this, and now there's not a deal done, and it won't be able to get done until the CBA is agreed upon. But now, as John Heyman is saying, nobody has responded to why the deal wasn't made official. Your level of concern here?
I mean, not overly concerned. I mean, I think anything is possible. I think anywhere on the spectrum, any of the excuses or any of the reasons why it hasn't been inked, that's possible. It's possible that there could be, the Astros doctors could have found an injury. It's very possible that the two sides just didn't in a timely fashion get the contract inked. So it could be much to do about nothing. But then again, it could be very, very serious and something deal breaking occurred. I mean, it could be literally either or anything in between. And unfortunately, we're going to have an extended period of time here to speculate on it. I don't know. I mean, for me personally, it sucks, because I think, for me, Verlander being an Astro softened the blow of Carlos Correa not being an Astro. Like, I'm just a Verlander fan, so it gave me something to be excited about. So to hear that they didn't get this thing inked it makes me nervous. But the not communicating aspect of it doesn't make me nervous at this point. Like, I would imagine that a part of a lockout for either side would, not saying that they can't talk, but I would imagine that organizations and representatives of players are probably encouraged to not comment about contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's off limits for Major League Baseball to talk contracts and to negotiate, and it's off limits for players, it's off limit for them to communicate at all, I would imagine that they strongly encourage both parties to not communicate effectively, essentially communicate through the media. You know what I mean? Like, I would imagine it halts all of that, and that's why nobody's responding, not because there's something that they have to hide.
My thing is, I just wonder, because of the length of time, is there something that's holding it up from each side?
Yeah, both of them got too much money. Yeah. They weren't in a hurry to get that 50.
I guess. Is there something holding up, as I think you talked about before, injury-wise? Is there something where Verlander wants something in the deal that's being held up? Because when it was announced, you generally see, like all the other signings that were announced, it's done. And right now, he's not even on their roster at this point. So we'll keep our eyes open for that one.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night, the NFL week got started between the Cowboys and the Saints. And the Cowboys won by 10, 27-17. And you never felt like Dallas was going to lose the game because the Saints' offense was so bad, and the Dallas defense, they just had guys they couldn't handle. But, Clint, when you look at it, the Cowboys aren't playing to try to beat the Saints. They're playing to try to win a Super Bowl. And at one point, I think it was fair to think and put them in the category as a contender. Do you still see that where they are right now at 8-4?
No, I don't trust them. I never have trusted them. I think they've played at times in a way that you would like to see them play to put them in that conversation. But, you know, I think with you couple the injuries with, you know, the inability to connect all the dots, the inability to hit on all cylinders, if you will, for the Cowboys is mind-boggling. I mean, you take the fourth quarter last night. There's sub 6 minutes left in the game. You're up 10 points. You're playing a team that has zero chance of scoring points if they do get the football back. And the Cowboys do everything they can to turn the football over late in the ballgame and give them another chance to get back in a two-score game. I mean, take that moment in time, cut it out. And that's my number one problem with the Cowboys, hell, since the Romo days, is they just can't get out of their own damn way. And look, Kellen Moore, if Kellen Moore's not going to do it, which I think the offensive coordinator should do it, but we're at a point with Dak Prescott where if Dak Prescott's in a game and they're up 10 and you're playing a Taysom Hill quarterback New Orleans Saints team that ain't pissed a drop and can't throw the foot, can't do anything, and you get an aggressive play call in, an aggressive pass play call in. No, if you're Dak Prescott, like, you've got to be mature enough to go, we need to run this thing. Or better yet, you need to be mature enough to do anything other than try to rip the ball into coverage. Like, that can't happen. We cannot take the Cowboys serious if that's possible. And we made excuse after excuse when they were injured and they didn't have his receivers and his offensive line and they can't do this, can't do that. I'm tired of all the excuses. It's the same old with them. Great football team. A lot of talent, fun to watch, buy a ticket, drink some cold Coors Light, but no, they ain't a contender.
Ben Roethlisberger is going to get to the Hall of Fame, and he's won two Super Bowls a lot. And the best years of Ben was when he threw the ball like 25 times a game. That was the best for him. And I think Dak is in that type of space. Can Dak throw it 50 times? Sure. He can put up points like they did against Tampa, yep, in the early part of the season. But yesterday he threw it 40 times, and why? Why?
Agree.
Why? I mean, Tony Pollard had an explosive touchdown run. He rushed it for 7 rushes for 71 yards. Why? Why? You were winning the whole time. We had Michael Irvin on earlier. If you missed it, I'm telling you, this is potentially the best interview we've done ever. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature at 3:35, I swear before God, and listen all the way through. But he said it mind-blowing to him in the last 5 minutes while they're run for 5 yards on first down, and, hey, baby, let's pick it up and throw it up 10. What? and then they just do that all the time, and I don't know what it is, but, no, I can't put them in the class of the Cardinals and the Packers at this point. We'll see how they go moving forward. All right, this is one of my favorite parts of the show, because Clint Sterner is going to be forced to defend somebody that I don't think he really wants to defend. We'll discuss that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, listen, everyone has been crushing Brian Kelly for his, I think people were calling him being fake accent, and hell, you've called him slimy this week.
I'm not a fan. Hell, I'll be straight up honest with you. I'm a fan of no man that leaves his team the way he left his team.
I don't think that was the start of your not being a huge Brian Kelly guy. I think even before that,
I've never paid him much mind, to be completely honest with you. I mean, look, every time I looked up in the college football playoffs, he was getting his ass whooped. And I'm not a Notre Dame guy, so I never paid him no mind, to be completely honest with you. Brian Kelly was never a guy that I thought, boy, he is just the guy you got to go get. Like, he's just this great coach. There's a lot of good coaches out there. Peter Burns of SEC Network was with us earlier, and he was like, Coach O, down at LSU was fired, you know, his mind went directly to Brian Kelly, and you got to go tell Brian Kelly no. I've never been in that state of mind where any job opened up, and my first thought was Brian Kelly. Good coach, great coach. Can't argue with the resume. I've just never thought as highly of him as most people have, or I guess a lot of people have in the college football world.
But yeah, this week, if you listened to the show, which I know you have, Clint has not been the Brian Kelly guy. Right? He just hates the way he left him. The more that happens as the week goes on, as the playoff come out and we see that Notre Dame gets jumped and we're looking at all this, he is not a fan, but he's getting crushed for this accent thing. And I'm going to play it and I want to see where you are on this. If you're defending Brian Kelly on this.
Well, you got to set the table though. I mean, He's speaking at a sold-out LSU game.
He's at a basketball game at LSU.
Standing in the middle of the court, and he's got a handheld mic in his hand when he's speaking.
Oh, I thought you had more to set up.
It's not like he's standing at a podium at a press conference speaking.
He's getting it going. This is his one of his first time. He's speaking to the fan base there at LSU. And he's going to give that little speech that they give at basketball games as a new coach, a new head coach here, and I'm going to win you across. He is getting killed for people saying he just faked and tried to sound like he was from Louisiana. This is Brian Kelly.
Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
All right, there it is. So he is big. Oh, boy, God, man, he has got this fake accent. Mm. All right, Clint. This is Brian Kelly, the slime ball that you called earlier this week. Do you think Brian Kelly was going up there saying, all right, man, now I'm in Louisiana? And we found out earlier this week from Danny Cannell that his father is a politician, which you leaned back and said it all makes sense now. So he's got that in his bones. You wouldn't put it past a kid whose dad's a politician to go into Louisiana and start talking like he's from Louisiana. Do you feel like that was done on purpose?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
I do. I'll be honest with you. The first time I heard it, I didn't even think twice about it. I did realize that he was speaking like there was almost a slur, but I thought it was because I've spoke before somewhere where there's a little bit of an echo and when you're holding a mic and when it's not a typical like setting where you're speaking to a group, there could be a echo and
you get a kickback in your ear, and
you're speaking, you can hear what you're saying echoing back at you and things. And so I just thought maybe he's hearing that and he's trying to slow down to make sure it doesn't. I just looked at it as, well, he's slowing down, and I didn't think nothing of it. I thought he did a good job. That wasn't the whole piece. I thought he had spoke for over 2 minutes, and I thought he crushed it. I thought he did a good job of, like, as a former SEC guy, I thought he did a good job of saying, "Hey, we're LSU. We're gonna whoop everybody's ass, but we respect y'all." You know,
didn't love his press conference.
I hated his press conference. His introductory press conference. I thought, what? Like, that's the dude that everybody's talking about. You gotta go get. Like, that was it. I mean, his introductory press conference was one. I almost commented back at a couple of LSU guys that I know that were like, "Oh, Brian Kelly blew us away at the introductory press conference." I was like, "No, I mean, unless he spoke again, he was far from blowing anything away. I'm disappointed." And I thought he did a hell of a job in that particular moment. And I saw people start talking about, "Well, he's putting on this Southern accent." I was like, "Wait, what?" So now listening to that, there's no question.
I don't know that I think he was doing it on purpose. I kind of lean where you are that there was something going on, because he didn't do it the whole time. Like, it was just a couple of words. The family, really, that one was really interesting. That family.
Yeah. That was it. But he drew them out. Like, he drew every word out.
Did he? It felt like it was just family there, and maybe university.
He's talking real slow. Like, if you've heard him talk, there's actually, on social media, there's actually somebody put and paired him up talking to, they said it was talking to the Notre Dame, like giving his farewell meeting, you know, talk to the Notre Dame team. And then they put it right up next to that speech of him at LSU. And he used the word family in both. And he said family normal when he was talking to the Notre Dame kids.
The family part, that family word is the one that makes me pause. Like that one, like.
Well, think about it.
He said Tigers differently, but I think he was just saying Tigers the way that they.
Well, I could see Tigers. If I was speaking in South Louisiana, I would probably say Tigers.
That's how everybody has been saying it to him for probably the last 24
hours. Tyler, right now, if you're speaking, try to purposely slow down a sentence that family's in, and when you get to family, how do you slow it down?
Me and my family.
Right. So if you're in your mind,
why did you do it? Like that?
Me and my family.
I want to kiss you.
Whoa, easy in there, big guy. You want to talk about your family? You're talking about kissing people. Man, I don't know. So my mind, I'm thinking he's just slowing down to not rush through this thing. And you get to the word family, and there's no way to slow it down without saying family. And there's no way to slow it down.
Family.
You can't slow it down.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm going back and forth on this. That family one. Let me hear it one more time. Well, let me hear one, because that the way he drug out family is the one.
Family's
that got me.
Not the only word. There's
is
a
it
couple
and university there. Sounds funky to me. Hear it.
Thank you.
Well, stop it, Rick. Stop it. Doesn't he sound like he's about to do what I did to Sean? That drop that Tyler always plays. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you for bringing us that great info, Sean.
Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us Sean.
Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family.
He sounds kind of like Michael Irvin did when he was on with
us
earlier.
Yeah, a little drunk.
Well, he may have had a few pops. I mean, it was a night game in Baton Rouge.
You can't turn down shots if you're the hick, right? If you come can't turn down drinks.
I tell you what, if there's a lot of places, there's a lot of places you could go and probably, you know, not be offered or not be tempted to have a few pops before you speak one night, but Baton Rouge ain't one of them.
Not when you're trying to impress.
You got to go on down there and you got to go somewhere and get you a couple of swamp things.
Yeah, he's got to be 6-7 sheets to the wind by the end of that.
Yeah,
I, look, here with my family.
Yeah, I don't. I still can't.
You feel like his wife came to me.
I think he's doing it on purpose. I just don't think he's putting on a trying to put on a Cajun accent on purpose. Like, I think he's just slowing down on purpose. You know what I mean?
I don't think he came out there and said, all right, I'm going to try to really, really get myself into the fan base and try to sound like these people.
Tyler, where did you pull that from?
I actually just got it from the morning producer, Ben.
I wonder where he pulled, because that's a lot clearer and a lot slower than the first version that I saw that LSU actually put out there. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's another version out there that sounds, because that seems slow, man. Because I can't believe that I didn't notice it more the first, because I listened to it two or three times and I was like, damn, this is good. This is Brian.
You just hear
I don't
want to
like it, but damn,
hear.
Brian, that was good.
You just heard it for the accent.
I'm here with my family.
That part there. That one. That's
I'm trying to give a guy. I don't even care for the benefit of the doubt that he's just trying to slow this thing down.
You did. All right.
He's gone.
All right. Listen, I know many people don't give a rip about wins or losses, but the Texans, they sure do. They're going to do everything they can to try to win this game, I believe, on Sunday. And they got some really good news that helps that. We'll discuss that coming up next. And he's gone. All right.
He's gone.
All right. Listen, I know many people don't give a rip about wins or losses, but the Texans, they sure do. They're going to do everything they can to try to win this game, I believe, on Sunday. And they got some really good news that helps that. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, it is a Football Friday. Clint, Tyler, and the Texans have the Colts. They beat them down the first time they played in Indy, and they get them back on Sunday, Battle Red Sunday, where they're going to be wearing the Reds here at NRG in Houston. And look, the offense, I guess the last week or this year, how would you describe them?
Awful.
That's a good one. That's a good pathetic. They've been rough.
Sorry.
They've been rough, and Clint, it was thought, what, Tyler, you really got him in the holster, don't you? It was thought to be really potentially concerning when we started to see the guys missing with illnesses, which included three offensive starters in Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, both starting wide receivers, and then David Johnson, who they like to get involved in the offense, to say the least. But, Clint, now that we found out, Cooks and Conley actually returned to practice today, which is positive. But, on the other hand, David Johnson is still out of the game coming up on Sunday against the Colts. But at least Cooks and Conley being back, because if they didn't have them, this would be a real rough go for Tim Kelly and the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, I think you risk not being able to fill out a roster. I mean, a game day roster. I mean, that's where the Texans were. I mean, you have Danny Amendola went out with a knee, and you got your two receivers at the top of the receiver chart. You got both of those guys have missed two practices this week, and they were on the verge of missing a third today. They made it out to practice. Obviously, that's good news. But yeah, I mean, you're at a point to where you've got to play with already the worst offense in pro football, but you were fixing to have to go out there with guys that you don't even know at the receiver position if they can line up. Like not that Tim Kelly needs another reason to be handcuffed, but I mean, there was a chance you were going to take the field with guys that you were going to have to limit the number of pre-snap movements, shifts and motions and things of that nature. You have to shrink your package because of your wide receivers that were available.
Yeah, and
that's cute. You two are real cute. I say shrink your package.
I say shrink your package, and
you two are grinning at each other.
I'm in
like
here. I'm 37 and mature, and then he.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
He's in here. He's
shrink
in
your package. Took y'all there.
No, didn't take me there, man. He forced me. He tried to pull me in.
Mean, oh, what
I tried not to look at him. He got aggressive in my ear, and the
I
look.
I didn't even say anything.
And the look. Yeah, shut up. You did.
I did not.
You did. I felt it. You were coming.
Shrink your package, huh?
Everyone out there, listen. Come on.
Get it together,
I was
man.
In it. I'm in it here. Yeah,
I mean, y'all knew it. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
We
hell.
Do. We know. Yeah, I mean, Tyler knows exactly you what
to,
you're talking
you
about.
You would have had to decrease the number of offensive
your
formations
packages,
that you could use.
Yeah.
Instead of, I can't say package because my producer in there, he turns red. He gets red-faced around three guys and we talk about his packages.
That's what she said.
No, I mean, it was going to be.
I bet your package shrunk off to the margaritas last night from El Tiempo, Chief.
I plead the fifth.
I bet it did. I will say there is a bit positive there, though. I mean, I'm excited to see Chris. What's my man's name? Now we're talking about these packages shrinking. Chris Moore. Because I do think there is some there. I think there's a jump in talent there with him being in the slot and being out there more. But it would have been bad if he would have been called upon to be like the two, like if it would have been called upon him and Nico Collins to be the guys. Now I think you got a good chance to see what Chris Moore can bring to the table if, you know, Tim Kelly is going to allow us to see it.
Let's be honest. Brandon Cooks was targeted 5 times last week. I mean, Brandon Cooks could be in a really bad spot with the flu, but if he practiced today, he can go out there and be 5 targets. I mean, he can go out there and put himself in position to have 5 targets come his direction, and they'll focus on getting the ball to Brevin Jordan and Nico Collins otherwise. And I don't know how that – I'm sure Rex Burkhead will take the touches that David Johnson was getting. So, I would think based off of what they've done the last couple of weeks with Brandon Cooks, in a sense of instead of him getting, 13 targets in a game and 8 or 9 catches, they're not depending on him as much as they have in the past. And so
– Do you not expect to see him get the same amount of snaps?
No. I don't think David Culley can stand up there and talk about all day long about, it's just how it played out. I mean, they start double team. They're not double teaming Brandon Cooks. I mean, he's not getting double teamed. Not consistent enough to where
you got to go away from him.
If they are double teaming him, which that means they're just rolling coverage. I'm not saying they've never done that, but they do absolutely nothing to create any kind of advantage for Brandon Cooks. If they are doubling him, it's very easy to, just like teams used to double DeAndre Hopkins, they're just putting a safety over the top because you're not moving him and you're just leaving him in one spot. And it's easy to give him more attention than you would like. So I just, when I hear David Culley say that, I disagree wholeheartedly. There's a conscious effort to get somebody else the football. I'm not saying to get somebody other than Brandon Cooks the football.
No, yeah. But sometimes you don't. They don't give it a chance to look his way.
No, right. His touches, based off of what this offense is doing, and what we've seen, his targets, not necessarily his catches, but his targets should go through the roof. You should be moving him and doing double moving him and doing everything that you possibly can, getting the ball out of the backfield. I mean, you should be doing everything you possibly can to get him touches because it's the only player that you have that if he does hit a seam, he's going to take it the distance. He's the only player that you have that has shown the consistent ability to make tough catches, to make guys miss. And so I don't buy the whole, they're doubling Brandon, so we're spreading the ball around. No, I don't buy that at all. I think it's by design. They're wanting to get other guys' touches. They're targeting other guys in key situations. And I don't think there's any way to explain that away other than making a conscious effort to target other folks.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, and Tyler Milner here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, talking about the positive news that the Texans got with the players that are jumping in, going to be back potentially in this game. We talked about David Johnson. He hasn't practiced in 3 days. Like, listen, you never want, and I mean this sincerely, you never want, like, anyone to be sick or hurt or anything at all with David Johnson. But it does seem like they try like hell to get him the ball. Like, there's some priority with him to get touches. It appears at times the priority is more than Brandon Cooks. And Royce Freeman's a guy they've added to this team that we haven't been able to see yet. And it feels like if David Johnson potentially has to miss this game this week again, I'm not sitting here crossing my fingers like some of you, hoping that he doesn't play. But I do think you can get a look at Royce Freeman, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle not having David Johnson in the game because he seems to be a big part of the game plan every week.
Yeah, look, I think what they do is move Rex Burkhead to the one spot, and he becomes your featured back. And I think Royce Freeman spells him whenever need be. I mean, I think that's really their only option at this point in time. Unless I'm missing somebody, I think that's their literally their only option is if David Johnson can't go is to feature Rex Burkhead more. Which, look, I'll echo what you said. I don't wish sickness upon anybody, but based off of what we've seen, if David Johnson can't practice, I've been asking for more Rex Burkhead simply because what I've watched the last two or three weeks is Rex Burkhead is your best back. I mean, just based off of what
I think that's arguable.
I don't either. And so if you're just an offensive coach on this football team and you're watching the same film I'm watching, it makes sense for Rex Burkhead to get more touches than David Johnson. Now they're going to be forced into that situation, possibly. David Johnson may play, but it looks like he hadn't practiced all week. It looks like it's going to be a stretch to think that he'll be the feature back the way that he has been. So I'm going to get to see more Rex Burkhead, which I'm stoked about. And I'm going to see a new face. I don't care who it is, just other than David Johnson and the same old company that we've seen. We're going to get to see Royce Freeman running the football and see how a little bit younger back that should have a little bit more wiggle, a little bit more burst. Hopefully, it'll have better vision, better patience. We'll see a different back, another back, and see how that back fares in this particular offense. Odds are it's not going to be good because, as John McClain, NFL Hall of Famer, pointed out, is the offensive line's not very good, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding for anybody back there. But I do think I welcome seeing a new face back here.
No, I think many of us do just to see it. It makes sense. You're 2-9. Let's be able to see all the guys that you have that can be option team situation. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show here with you, taking you up until 6 o'clock, where Mark Vandermeer and John Harris have Texans All Access following us. And Clint, tomorrow is going to be a huge day before we get to Sunday. Yep. There are I call it the big four football games that really matter in college football. It's championship week. That's the SEC championship game, the Big Ten championship game, the AAC, that's not the ACC, the AAC championship game, and then the Big 12 championship game. Those games are all the ones that seem to matter for the college football playoff. Let's start with the big one, Clint. Georgia and Alabama in Atlanta. How do you see that one going?
I just don't see how Alabama even keeps up. I think Georgia should be a 2-touchdown plus favorite, but there's a Saban obviously.
Does he make you a little nervous, Nick? There.
Oh yeah, and there's no question. I'm just talking about from the line standpoint. Yeah. I think there's a Saban influence there of why that line is only 6.5. I mean, I watched Alabama struggle with Auburn's defense, and while I think Derek Mason is one of the better defensive minds in the game,
yeah.
and I do think that the talent on the Auburn roster, particularly on the defensive side of the football, is better than being an unranked football team. However, I watched Alabama struggle mightily, I mean in a major way, against that Auburn defense, and I'm just going to tell you that Auburn defense can't hold a candle to Georgia. I mean they don't have one dude on that defensive line that can even hold a candle to Jordan Davis at Georgia. Auburn doesn't have one guy on that defensive line, and I know there's inside outside players, but there's just Jordan Davis is one of the most dominant players I've seen in a long time in college football. 6'6", 340 pounds, interior defensive line, absolute game wrecker. I don't know how they handle him. Yeah. And then as we've talked about a million times on this show, they've got, what was the number I had the other day? Was it nine defensive? Is there eight or nine defensive players that will get drafted off of this football team on the defensive side of the ball? They got a couple of linebackers, and these are all top three rounds. They've got two linebackers, a corner, a safety, two interior defensive tackles, and I believe a D end or an outside linebacker. All in the top three rounds, not just to be drafted, but all in the top three rounds. Had I not seen Alabama struggle show the way that they struggled last week against Auburn, I would have said it's going to be a good game. Alabama will figure out how to match it.
You don't think it's going to be close?
I don't think it's going to be close.
I think it'll be close.
Like, I think it'll be close at halftime because I don't think Georgia has the ability to just like the thing about Alabama, they've always had the ability to, if you blink, they can go up two scores. Georgia doesn't have that ability. Georgia's got to work. to establish what they want to do offensively. They're run the ball, run heavy football team, play action, get the quarterback involved in the run game some. He can't extend plays. But they're not anywhere near the explosive team that Alabama wants to be. So Georgia has to beat you down in the first half and then separate from you in the second. And I think they'll do that.
Yeah, I got Alabama in this game, and I know that most people aren't going here. I feel like here's my thing is I think Georgia's the more consistent team and the overall better team because of that, and they've shown that all year. But I don't think they, like, overwhelm or out-talent Alabama, obviously not. Like, I think Alabama has the talent to play those guys. Like, in some games, the talent eventually takes over in Georgia and they wear teams down. This feels like it may be like week one for Georgia against Clemson, where both teams struggled to score and Georgia was able to make a big defensive play. I feel like this is going to be a low-scoring game, and I think that I look at Saban and his quarterback, which I think has the ability to make more plays than Georgia's quarterback in a tight game, and I think that's the factor to me. I think this game is going to be low-scoring and tight, and I think that Alabama has a couple of more playmakers that I feel a little bit more comfortable about than Georgia.
I don't disagree with you one bit from having playmakers show. I watched all those playmakers you mentioned, Mechie, Bryce Young. Now Williams was out of the game, but I watched them guys look very average last week when Auburn's defense was coming.
Oh, I've watched them look
Georgia's
very average.
Defense is coming.
Yeah, I've watched them. They've looked average a few times this year. Like they've struggled a few times. At LSU, they looked average, but then I feel like they're a group that can get going. Like one game, they're not consistent.
Oh, I agree.
But one game where they're hearing all week that Georgia's about to get them. I think they're going to be ready to potentially give their best performance. This game to me in the Big Ten, though, I feel like that's the one where all hell could break loose. If Iowa were to beat Michigan, Jim Harbaugh cannot lose this game to Iowa. But if Iowa were to beat Michigan, then everything is on the table. Notre Dame, hell, they look real good to get in if Michigan loses to Iowa. And I mean, the whole thing goes crazy and wild if Michigan loses the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, if Michigan loses to Iowa, then you look at if Alabama loses and has two losses, they're going to be in that mix. You look at Notre Dame with one loss, they would be in the mix then. Oklahoma State, if they do end up winning the Big 12, they're obviously going to be in the mix. The key here in the with the final college football playoff rankings, right? The key is going to be Alabama cannot be in the four hole.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't. There's no.
Their last two games would be against Georgia.
They would have unless Cincinnati loses and Michigan loses and Oklahoma State loses, and it's like, hell, you just don't have any choice but to put a two loss. Like, you got to put Notre Dame at three because you can't put them below a two loss Bama team, and Bama just is the. Because right now, you got a traffic jam of two loss teams, and a good chunk of them aren't playing in their conference championship game. So. This is the year where all hell has broken loose. Look, yes. OU's not there. Clemson's not there. I mean, you've got some, all hell has broken loose to get us where we are right
A&M's
now.
A&M's not there.
There's a good, what?
A&M's not there. They were top five team this year.
Tyler was trying to get them in with three losses, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, it's three or four losses.
That's not true.
Four losses. He still thinks they've got a chance. They beat Bama. If Bama beats Georgia, they should be
if they would have won out, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a crazy take.
Now, I think Jim Harbaugh will get it done. And this Oklahoma State Baylor game is going to be an interesting one. I don't think it's just a shoo-in that Oklahoma State wins this game, and to beat a team twice in one year is tough. But the big one also is for us. We got a little bottle on the line. I haven't decided what I want you to get me.
Well, I put it out on Twitter right there. I put it out on Twitter. If anybody wants to check it out, at Clint Sterner, I put it out there. You know, what kind of bottle. I'm not real. I'm trying to think. I know what I can get for 75, and I know what I can't get for 75, but usually in my tequila purchasing, it's usually over 100 or below. Oh, man. Huh? Just putting this out. I'm just saying it's either above 100 or below 50. Like, I don't have a.
You don't got a above 50, between 50 to 100.
I mean, I could probably get to a 60, but I don't. 75, that's a weird price point for me. I'm sure they're out there. I just, I'm typically not a I don't have anything on top of my head at that $75.
I mean, you don't have to think too hard about it. You won't have to.
Well, no, you just put you don't think too hard about anything anymore. You just put it on Twitter, and they'll give you plenty of suggestions.
They'll give you some suggestions. Yeah, I need it. Yeah,
I've already got two that people threw out there about $150 bottles, and I said a show ain't going for that.
Yeah, I got no. We made an agreement. I got, you know, I'm
hell. I'm giving you a damn 10 plus point. Favorite.
I'm a vodka drinker, but it's hard to get to $50 on vodka.
Well, I'll buy you two bottles. I'll buy you two bottles of some old plastic bottled stuff.
Nah,
you
man,
want?
Ain't no plastic.
Got some Taka.
Hey, how about you? What last on air, baby? We got to go Cougs, man. Go Cougs.
Let go me
look.
Cougs.
Look, there ain't no doubt about it. They're in a position to win the AAC. Upset a top four team right here in the H, baby. Come on, man.
Former Houston Kruger here. All right. Yeah, the Fighting Andre Ware's, baby. Good luck because you're going to need it coming up tomorrow against Cincinnati. Should be a fun weekend. And we got the Texans against the Colts on Sunday. We'll be there except Tyler. We'll enjoy ourselves there. Have a good weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Tyler, spectacular job this week. I mean, you're fantastic on your birthday. Clint, great job. Texans All Access behind us. I'm Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
There's a lot of money. Went down that toilet with the doo-doo.
All right. Down the toilet with the doo-doo.
A lot of money. Yeah, a lot of money. Down that toilet. Right on down that toilet. I did run down Bourbon Street with everybody last night. You know, of course, I had some adult beverages. I said, oh, you better stop. You better stop. You got to work this week. Yeah.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.